You found your place there in John chapter 4. We're going to begin reading in verse 1. We're going to jump down a little bit and continue reading. Just follow along if you would. John chapter 4 and verse 1. The Bible says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were going away unto the city to buy meat." Jump down to verse 25, if you would. Come to the end of this conversation that Jesus is having with the Samaritan woman in verse 25. "The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah is cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said his disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many Samaritans of that city believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Let's pray. Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, I can't preach your word without you. Lord, I ask that you'd help me as I preach tonight not to say anything that would hinder what you want to do in this service. Father, give me the words to say. And Father, work in our hearts. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well. And Father, we'll give you all the honor and all the glory for what you do. We pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. So we look at John chapter 4. Of course, Jesus is coming into Samaria. The Bible says that he must needs go through Samaria, which was unusual and significant because the Jews, when they would pass through Galilee down to Judea, the most direct route would have been to go right through Samaria. It would have been the easiest route for them to take. But because they saw the Samaritans as dogs and as unclean people, and they wanted absolutely nothing to do with them, they would go all the way around the region of Samaria rather than going through and taking the most direct route. Well, this particular time, Jesus decides that he must needs go through Samaria. And we understand as we look at the passage that there, he would meet a Samaritan woman at a well. And he would begin to talk to her about living water. And he would offer to her the free gift of salvation. And she would begin to try to distract him by her religion and say, well, I'm religious and I'm okay. And I don't have to worry about that. And Jesus would remind her of her sin. And eventually she would look at him and acknowledge, well, you know, they are saying the Messiah is coming. And he looks at her and says, I that speak to you am he. And she accepts Jesus Christ as her Savior. She goes back into the city and she tells everyone that she can that the Messiah was there. And she brings a great multitude of people out of the city and many people are saved. And Jesus stays there for several days ministering in that place and many Samaritans being saved. But what I want us to look at tonight is the disciples. Understand, the disciples were there the whole time. Jesus came into the city and sits at the well, and at some point they decided to go into the city and look for something to eat. Now understand, Jesus, as we said a moment ago, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. I believe it's very clearly because he knew that Samaritan woman was going to be there. But sadly, it seems that the disciples have no idea what God's plan was. As we look at the passage, we see they went into the city, and what's interesting to me, it sticks out to me, is that this woman who just met Jesus Christ, just acknowledged that He was the Messiah, when she goes into the city, she immediately tells everybody that she knows. What's interesting to me is that the disciples had already been in the city. The disciples had just passed through, and what's interesting, when they come back, they don't come back bringing people to Jesus Christ. They came with some lunch. You know, it seems as if the disciples had no idea what God's plan was for being there. And they should have. I mean, it was unusual for them to go through the region of Samaria. You'd think that somebody at some point would say, "Hey, Jesus, typically we go around Samaria. Why are we going straight through?" It seems odd that they would get there and Jesus would say, "Hey, I want you guys to go get some lunch." Or He would sit down at the well and they wouldn't ask the question, "Lord, why are you sitting here? Why aren't you going with us?" What I'm saying is it seems as if the disciples didn't care about what God's plan was. It's interesting. They come back and they see the Samaritan woman sitting there with Jesus and knowing that I'm sure Jesus has a plan in all of this. And look at verse 27, what it says. It says, "And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, 'What seekest thou?' or 'Why talkest thou with her?'" Comes to their attention that, hey, Jesus apparently has some sort of plan here, and no one is interested in saying, "Lord, what are you doing? Well, what's the plan here? What do you want us to do?" I find it interesting, as I said a moment ago, that the disciples, all 12 of them being Jews, go into Samaria and don't tell one single person, at least it doesn't seem they told one person, that the Messiah was there. They don't bring anybody out. A woman who has a bad reputation in the community walks into the city and says, "Hey, let me tell you about the Messiah. I just met Him. He's sitting in a well, and in a multitude of Samaritans are willing to follow her." And no one looked at the disciples as they were walking into the city, 12 men that would have typically not been caught dead in a Samaritan city, and goes, "What are you guys doing here?" They didn't have the opportunity to say, "Listen, our Master Jesus, who's the Messiah, has brought us here. He's just sitting a quarter mile down the road at Jacob's well. You can go meet Him for yourself." It seems to me the disciples weren't interested in what God's will was for their lives at that point. Listen, if anybody should have been telling others about Jesus Christ, it's the disciples who had committed their lives to following Jesus. Yet we find that a Samaritan woman who's just been saved puts them to shame and doing what God desired for them to do. What's interesting is Jesus is standing there. They come back to Him. The Samaritan woman leaves, and they're wondering in their minds, what in the world is Jesus doing here? Well, what is he trying to do? They're completely oblivious to God's will. But although the disciples were oblivious to what Jesus' desire was for them, Jesus was driven by the will of the Father. Look at verse 34. "Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me, and to finish His work.'" Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." As we look at Scripture, it's very clear that Jesus put the desires and the will of the Father above even His own human desires. The disciples are standing there with food, and they're trying to get Jesus to eat some of this food, and Jesus says, no, that's not what I'm interested in. What I'm interested in right now is doing the will of the Father. It seems to me that the disciples weren't very interested in doing what the will of the Father was. You know what's sad? Many times I fear that as Christians, we're not all that interested in doing what the will of the Father is. Hey, we're interested in getting our things. We're interested in doing what's important to us, but we're not interested in coming to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I want what You want more than what I want." Listen, Jesus was God, yes, but He was also 100% man. He was hungry. He was tired, the Bible says. There was a desire there for food, but rather than to take physical food, His greater desire was to do the will of the Father. I fear so many times that our desire for physical, earthly things distract us from our desire to do what the will of God is. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, the disciples would have been far better as they were walking in through Samaria to say, Lord, what's your plan? What do you need us to do? What's going to happen here? What's your plan for us today? What do you want for us to do for you? But it doesn't seem like they were all that interested in that. Even when those thoughts came into their minds, they pushed it away because they were hungry. They wanted to take care of their physical needs. So we see that they had no idea what the will of the Father was. We also see they came back with the wrong kind of food. Look at verse 31. It says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. And he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You know, it's interesting. They're coming back and they come out of the city and they say, Lord, we got the food. Here you go. And the master says, no, I'm not interested in that kind of a food right now. I'm not interested in physical things right now. What I'm interested in is heavenly things. I'm not interested in eating what you brought from the city. I'm interested in the souls of men, the Samaritans that are coming out of the city right now to come see me. Again, I fear that we so often can bring God the wrong things. So what do you mean? Remember when Lindsay and I, shortly after we were married, I was at the house, Lindsay was going grocery shopping, and I told her, I said, sweetheart, bring me back a snack. And I'm thinking, you know, potato chips, you know, nothing, something, the junk that you're not supposed to eat. That's what I've got in my mind. And she comes back and she brings in the groceries, and I'm going through the groceries, and I look at her and I go, what, no snack? She said, no, I got you a snack, it's in that bag. Look through the bag, there's no snack in there. She said, no, the cantaloupe, that's the snack. And I looked at her and said, I don't want a cantaloupe for a snack. You got the wrong thing. And what happened is, she thought for some reason, I mean, look at me. Would you think if I said, I want a snack, he must want a cantaloupe? I mean, anyways, but she brings me a cantaloupe and that's not at all what I was interested in. That's not at all what I wanted. Listen, the disciples come to Jesus and they come out of the city of Sychar and say, Lord, we found a great burger joint in there. You've got to try one of these cheeseburgers. He wouldn't have eaten a cheeseburger, but you know what I'm saying. And you got to try one of these. This is great. This is good stuff. And Jesus said, I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested in is the souls of men. You know, they went into the city. Instead of bringing people to the Messiah, they brought the Messiah something to eat. You know, I remember as a teenager, earlier on in my life, shortly after I was saved, the Lord started to give me a desire to be in the ministry and called me to the ministry. And that's what I wanted to do. But as I got a little older, I got away from that. I decided that what I was going to do, because it was really a needed thing, was that I was going to be kind of a Christian politician. I was going to get into politics and I was going to lobby for Christians' rights and things like that. And that's what I was going to do. That's great. Hey, there's a need for that. There's a need for some godly people to be involved in politics and to fight for Christian rights and that sort of a thing. But it wasn't what God wanted in my life. Listen, so many times we try to bargain with the Lord, don't we? Lord, I know you want me to do that. I know this is what you want of me, but this is a whole lot better. I'll just do this. Almost like a salesman. You ever get caught in one of those situations? You're looking at maybe a cell phone or something in a store, and you're looking at, oh wow, this is really nice. This is a good phone. And the guy comes over and goes, yeah, that's an okay phone. But what you really want is this one over here that's twice as much. You ever been caught in a situation like that? Sometimes we try to do that with the Lord. Yeah, Lord, I know, you know, you want me to be involved in missions, but you know what would be a whole lot better is if I could do this. Listen, that's what I did with the Lord, and I fear many times in our lives that's what we can do. Perhaps the Lord could call someone to a mission field and we say, you know, Lord, I'd be a whole lot better off if, you know, I could work this job and boy, I could give a whole lot of money to missions. And wouldn't that be great? And yes, that would be wonderful. But the problem is, that's not what God wants for your life. Listen, the disciples brought probably a delicious meal back to Jesus. The problem is, that's not what Jesus was looking for. Many times in our Christian lives, we begin to bargain with the Lord and say, Lord, I know that's what you want, but this is what I want. This is my desire. Listen, Jesus' appetite is still the same. He still desires that men be saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, the Bible says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." John chapter 20 and verse 21, Jesus says to His disciples, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." My friends, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. The Bible says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God." The fact is, the disciples were going into the city. Jesus was sitting outside of the city. Because Jesus was sitting outside of the city, He couldn't physically tell people to come out and meet Him. The disciples should have done that. Listen, Jesus Christ wants to see people saved. The thing is, He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God tonight. He physically will not come down and tell our co-workers, our neighbors, our families, our friends about Jesus Christ. He won't go to a foreign country to be a missionary to tell people about Christ. Why? Because He's given us that job. And far too often we try to bargain with the Lord and say, "Lord, I think You'd rather me do this, wouldn't You?" And rather being in God's will and bringing God what He desires, we decide that we're going to bring Him what I want to bring Him. Listen, the disciples, they brought Him the wrong kind of food. Listen, they didn't come to the Lord with what the Lord wanted. They put rules and parameters on what God could do in their lives and what God could use them for. And I fear so many times we do the same thing. We see also that they came back distracted. In verse 35, Jesus says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Now it's interesting here. Jesus says, basically, "Hey guys, look," 3 times in that passage, back to back. He goes, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look." I think He's doing. The disciples are enjoying their meal. They're eating, trying to figure out why their master's not eating. They're distracted by their physical needs and their physical desires and what they want in their lives. And Jesus is saying, "Listen, look, look, look. The Samaritans are coming. They're coming because a Samaritan woman who I was interested in witnessing to or telling about myself here at the well went back and brought them out of the city. And we have a huge opportunity to see a great harvest today." But the problem was, the disciples couldn't pull their faces up from their sandwiches to see the fields that were white already to harvest. I fear so many times as Christians, we're so busy with our materialism. We're so busy with our stuff. We're so busy with what we have and what we want that we can't pick our eyes up and look at the fields that are white already to harvest. Listen, the fact of the matter is this. There are people dying and going to hell every single day. So we don't have time to lose. We don't have time to be distracted. Jesus was trying to get the attention of His disciples saying, "Guys, look, they're coming. The fields are white already to harvest. We've got work to do." Listen, we've got work to do. Are we distracted? Have we gotten distracted by other things? I remember I was traveling. Lindsay was pregnant with Ellie, and she was home. She was just about to have the baby. And I traveled for about, 2 weeks, 3 weeks by myself. And I pulled over at this Arby's to eat. And it had been a long day, and I just wanted to relax. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just kind of wanted to sit in my own corner, enjoy my meal, and get back in the car and drive. And you understand, I'm 26 years old, okay? At that time I was 25 years old, all right? I know I look older than that, okay? The balding and the weight gain from deputation don't help me any, okay? But I'm there, and I'm ready to enjoy my meal. And please don't get offended by this. If you're a 50-year-old woman, please don't get offended, okay? But this 50-year-old woman comes up, and the best way I can describe it starts hitting on me. And I'm thinking to myself, "Lady, I'm 26 years old. You're old enough to be my mother. I don't have time for this. I don't want this. No, thank you." And I was aggravated. I was annoyed. And I thought, well, she's behind me in line, so I'll go and I'll sit down in a corner where she won't see me. She won't come and sit next to me, and it'll be okay. And so I'm sitting there enjoying my food, and the lady sits right next to me. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. And she's chatting. She's getting chatty, you know, and talking to me. I'm going, lady, I know I look old. It was really kind of, I felt bad for myself, I guess. Surely I don't look that old anyways. But she's talking to me and I'm thinking, I don't want this right now. And finally she looks at me. She says, so what do you do for a living? The Lord said, Nick, that's why you're sitting there. I said, well, I'm a missionary. I'm going to plant churches in inner city Boston. I got to have about an hour-long conversation with that lady about the Lord. Listen, I was distracted, and quite literally, I was distracted by my sandwich, by my physical needs, what I wanted to do, what I had planned for my life for that time. And had I continued that way and I just blown the lady off, the fact is that I wouldn't have had an opportunity to present the gospel to her. So I fear so many times we get distracted by what we want and what our desires are and by the things that we can compile and that we can have, that we forget that there's a field white already to harvest. There are souls that are dying. There are people who are spending an eternity in hell that need to hear today. And yet we're so distracted by what I want and what my plans are. Just as the disciples were. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You know the Lord's telling those people who are standing there, if you want to follow me, I'm going to have to be the most important thing in your life. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to be willing to abandon everything, whatever it may be. Your material goods, your relationships, whatever it may be. Because listen, there's a field white already to harvest. There's no time to lose. There's no time to be distracted by things. There's no time to decide that, Lord, I know you want me to be completely surrendered to you, but wouldn't you rather have this so I can make excuses as to why I'm not completely surrendered to your will for my life? Are you even interested in what God's plan is for your life? Have you come to the Lord and said, Lord, here I am. Whatever your plan is for my life, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it, whatever it is. Listen, the disciples, they had no idea what God's plan was that day. They weren't involved in it as a result. Listen, the disciples brought Jesus the wrong thing. They came to Jesus, what they decided they were willing to give to Jesus and weren't willing to do what God really wanted them to do. Hey, the disciples were distracted. I ask you today, are you willing to do whatever God has planned for your life? Have you surrendered to that? Are you bargaining with the Lord and saying, Lord, I know that's what you want me to do, but I think this would be better. Are you distracted by stuff? Are you distracted by your own plans and what you want? Listen, there's a field white already to harvest. There's work to be done. We need to get busy.